We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome in, Thursday edition, Blue Sky Live here with you today. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Jeffrey Wright making his weekly appearance here with us. Ole Miss and Alabama start tonight. Swayze Field, 6:30 night, 6:30 tomorrow, and 2 p.m. on Double Decker Saturday. The NFL draft is tonight. Neil and Siski have a bit of a crossover, hand-raised guys. McCready and Siski super show planned for you this evening. We'll talk about that super as show. This hour, something like that, this hour progresses.
Super show. It is kind of a cool show, though. We have the ULM coach on. Kane Womack's going to join. David Beatty's going to join, who has a great life story. His dad was the officer who was standing directly behind Lee Harvey Oswald when Jack Ruby shot him. And when David's dad died, all he remembers as a little boy was these men in suits came to the house and took his mother into the bedroom. And when they left, shortly after the funeral and all that, she called the kids into a room and she said that you can never say anything other than Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. He said it was always this mysterious thing that hung over their family, but that no one ever questioned it because they were fearful.
So that tonight on the
and John Summerall too, the Tulane coach John Summerall on the show as well. So big.
I was about to say the ULM coach. You have Terry Bowden on tonight. That's incredible. Y'all can.
I'd be curious to know. Kane was never at Indiana when McCarthy was, right? When McCarthy's at Michigan.
I don't think so.
But he did. He was there when Penix was there, right?
Yes, they were the same stuff.
Same.
He was the DC roster. when Penix was the quarterback.
Uh huh.
I'd be curious to know his thoughts.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna ask him.
Go ahead.
Penix is my hashtag QB4.
Oh.
Okay.
We'll get into that. First, blue skies all over Mississippi. They are up and down I-55. They're out north Mississippi as well. Got the epicenter down in Macomb. So you can take advantage of one wherever you are. And they've got a special coming this weekend. So if you're in town, you can head on over. I'm looking for the details now that I had in front of me. And right now I am having a hard time finding it. Here we go. Any Sweet Daddy's product, barbecue product from the Oxford Exxon here on this Friday. They're giving away 150 Ole Miss red jerseys there at the Oxford Exxon. So all you do is head in sometime in the morning and you can be one of those first 150, get a red Ole Miss baseball jersey with any Sweet Daddy's purchase that is in the convenience store there at the Oxford Exxon. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. That number, call it, ask for our buddy Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's right to the bottom line. There's no hassle, no haggle. They're not going to drive you crazy. They're just going to give you a quote. Then you can do with it what you will. You can either take it and use it as a guide elsewhere. There's nothing, no skin off their back. Or you can do what I have done, what I recommend that you do, and that's hop into a Clark Ford today. People at Clark Ford want to be your car guy. They want to be your truck guy. You get great service, great products, all of those things that you could possibly want in a car purchase, truck purchase. 662-257-1900. Jeffrey Wright, all of the other guests that I just mentioned will join on the Campbell Clinic hotline. The Campbell Clinic is in Oxford now, 2608 South Lamar Boulevard, Suite 102, just across the street from the cottages at Hooper Hollow. The Campbell Clinic provides full-service orthopedic care, everything from sports medicine to foot and ankle surgery to spine and total joint care to pediatric orthopedics, physical therapy, and more. To book an appointment, go to CampbellClinicOxford.com or call 901-759-3111. Walk-ins always welcome at the Campbell Clinic, Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m.
So, Jeffrey, lead us off here a little bit. We were talking earlier in the week, the Memphis athletic director headed to Missouri. Now you got a search underway. Saw your co-host had an interesting take earlier in the week. Where does this thing kind of sit? What's going to happen there in the Bluff City with the AD search?
Yeah, I know he took some heat for that. I don't think that column idea came out of nowhere. I guess I'll say it that way. Mark is not exactly, Mark is not exactly in the group meetings with Greg Doyle, Wolkin, Arbach, and, you know, Nancy Armour. He's not exactly in those meetings. I think that came from somewhere. I think it's so early in the process, and the way that it works at Memphis, and now more so than ever, is, you know, FedEx is going to have a pretty good say in who they're comfortable with. It seems that it's very early. And like, for instance, I think that the university was committed to trying to hire the first black president the time that they hired Bill Hargrave, who came from Auburn. I mean, I think Hargrave was realistically choice number 6 or 7. And so the question becomes is, you know, is Memphis going to get their first choice? And I don't even know at this point who their first choice might be. I think when you connect the dots, it seems to me likely that our boy Alan Green seems like he's probably going to have the first right of refusal. But if you're Alan, I mean, I don't know what he's making at Tennessee right now, but I don't know. Right now, it seems like at a lot of these SEC programs, the number two AD is probably making as much as a G5 AD. I mean, Memphis is a little bit, I guess Memphis has more money than, you know, ULM, but, you know, we're now in this world where it feels like the number two at a lot of these schools is going to be able to kind of be a little picky.
All I can say about a school like Memphis or any school right now making a hire of an AD is I don't care if they're white, black, green, purple, polka dotted. You better get somebody who understands the landscape for Group of Five and is prepared for all of the eventualities that might come about over the next handful of years.
So you the thing
be,
that
you better be super prepared. And look, Alan's been at a bunch of places. And he might very well be the person who's most qualified for that. If I'm sitting in the room as hand raised guys, it would be now is not the time, one way or the other, to make a hire based on anything other than we better get somebody who is competent.
Yeah. So I had kind of wrestled with, what do I think should be the primary objective of this search? Because I think oftentimes that's what gets lost in a lot of these. And I get it. It's emotional. I also get oftentimes you're serving a lot of different masters and you're trying to make this higher. But in general, athletic directors really come in two shapes and sizes. Obviously, there's some shades of gray, but in general, they're either going to be fundraisers or they're going to be administrators. And the case for going and getting another administrator, because that's kind of really the cloth that Laird Veach was cut from. The most important thing for Memphis right now is this stadium renovation that they're going through. And you need someone competent to make sure that this thing goes on time, goes smoothly, and is done well. I think, though, and I firmly believe this, Memphis aspires for a better league. Whether or not that's realistic, I set that kind of to the side. In the end, yeah, that's what they aspire to. You know what I mean? Like, that's
sure,
that's their desire. And you and I can debate whether or not that's realistic or not, but that's where they want to be. So I really stumped hard for you have to go and get the most dynamic fundraiser that you can possibly get, because the single easiest way, like, let's say there are screw ups. It's construction. There's screw ups all the time. I mean, what was it with the Ole Miss parking garage by the pavilion? Like, what, like one floor ended up being like 3 feet high or something like that. Like, screw ups happen. Like, mm-hmm. You know, the easiest way to fix a screw up, have more money. And so, and to me, it kind of serves the same, it serves the same purpose, because I do not believe there's a single candidate out there that all of a sudden is going to get you into a better league. If you historically look at conference realignment, it's not athletic director relationships. It's not, you know, who you know. It's not, well, this person got us into this league. It doesn't really work like that. They're not the decision makers. And to me, the way that you continue to put your best foot forward, when I look at almost every school that's been selected for a new league, it has largely been, do they have the money to compete? And to me, the single, like, the way that you kind of check every box is you just got to continue to raise and have more money.
Agree 1,000,000%. They should get somebody who can raise money. And you're right. Hey, man, nobody really knows what the landscape looks like in 2 years, much less 10 years. We were talking about this yesterday about the layoffs.
You really know what the landscape looks like this summer?
Not really. That's what we were saying. I mean, like, Trev Alberts fired all those people at Texas A&M, and I told Chase, I said, I kind of hope that what this is, hey, I got to get rid of these people because I'm bringing in my people this summer, right? But the reality is he's probably telling the truth. He's probably saying, hey, you know what? We've got this new paradigm coming to college athletics, and we've got to start preparing for it financially. And that means we've got to streamline our operations. And if you've got to streamline your operations at Texas freaking A&M, oh, dude, I mean, imagine what it must be at Florida Atlantic or UAB or South Alabama or Louisiana Tech or Middle Tennessee. I mean, it whoa, man. And a place like Memphis, Memphis doesn't have the budget of Texas A&M. You better, the people you hire better be really competent, because you're not going to have tons of people to pick up the slack. So, yeah, you got to raise money. You got to be smart. You've got to have vision. You've got to be aware of what's going on. You probably need to have someone who's very connected. Alan would click those boxes. You better know what's happening, and you better be a realist. You can be a dreamer, but you better also have a realist in the room who's like, okay, here's where we are right now, and this is what we have to do. Because, yeah, to your point, it'd be hard. Like, I get the mailbag questions all the time. Would this surprise you? Would this surprise you? It's like, no, really, nothing in intercollegiate athletics would surprise me at all. I mean, I told Chase this yesterday, sort of staying on topic but changing topics a little bit at the same time. I don't know who Trilly Donovan is, but he's clearly someone who's very connected in college basketball circles. That's undeniable. And he was the first to say, to my knowledge at least, he was the first to say that Sean Padula, the former Virginia Tech guard, was committing to Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, later in the day, he did commit to Ole Miss. We have a story at rebelgrove.com. But he also didn't report, but he said on his Discord, before yesterday, I didn't know what a Discord was, which is another part of a long story. But he said on his Discord that he had heard basically almost directly from Padula that the NIL package for Padula was $850,000. And now, look, be clear, I'm not reporting that. I can't tell you that's true, and I can't tell you that's not true. I don't know. But Trilly Donovan said it. I saw it. Now, let's just, for the sake of it, say that it's close to true. You talk about a shifting paradigm. If those are going to be the type of player salaries in a world of revenue sharing, with NIL going in-house, yeah, you better run one hell of an efficient operation.
Oh, it's going to be like, you know, it's going to get closer and closer to professional sports. And if we think coaches are bitching right now, I mean, what happens when we go to the NFL model where, you know, facilities, in the end, a lot of these NFL guys, their facilities were nicer if they played big-time college football. Their facilities were better in college oftentimes than they are in the NFL because, you know, the money has to get spent somewhere, and it's not on paper going to the players. So you end up spending on all these facilities. And, you know, we're going to start to see these athletic departments, which are bloated. We'll see. I mean, I think for certain the days of 100-person college football staffs are gone. You know, I'm curious to know, what does it do to coaching salaries? I mean, we've talked about it on this show. Like, if you are going to be in that world, why would I go spend $2.5 million on a play caller when I could go spend, you know, $500,000 on a guy to call some plays and go spend $1.5 million on a quarterback?
It's a great point, because everyone keeps doing, like Lane does this a lot, and he's right. Talks about NFL model. And I'm kind of curious. Oh, okay. It's interesting, right? If we're going to do NFL model, because if you're going to go all the way to the NFL model, like to your point, the Bengals are spending a lot more on Joe Burrow than they are on their training facility. Their concern right now is figuring out a way to lock up Ja'Marr Chase.
Do they even have do they now have an indoor practice facility?
I mean, they only fix those things when those grades come out and they're embarrassed.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they ignore all of them.
I think the Bengals just added one. Yeah. But that's the point, right? Is that the focus of the organization right now is on, what do you do about T. Higgins? What do we do about Ja'Marr Chase? It's not really about what do you do with, hey, how can we pay Taylor more money to be the coach? If you run an NBA model, I mean, the Thunder, for example, who looked awfully good last night, by the way. The Thunder are a lot more concerned with how do you keep Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren than they are how do you enrich Mark Daigneault.
Yeah, I mean, I know with the Grizzlies here, they're trying to get the arena squared away first, but you know, the Grizzlies want to build a practice facility like that. That's the, you know, not quite half of the money. I think it's 51% of basketball revenue, to which I always point out, it's like, okay, the highest percentage of money that goes to players directly is the NFL, because it's all revenue. I think they get like 49% of all revenue. But in college, you know, in college sports, it's when we start going to that model, there's going to have to be cuts. And like, I am fascinated to know, like, where does this all go? Because if we think coaches want to go get out of college sports and go more to the NFL because they don't want to deal with this, well, what happens if salaries start decreasing? I mean, I guess there's a legitimate question. Will salaries decrease? Like, is that a point where salaries are what they are? Maybe. But I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. It's to the whole... The whole point is that you better be flexible and not stuck in your ways a little bit moving forward, I think. Because I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm not saying Padula did or did not get that amount of money.
How many years does he have left? Because I'm always
one.
Well then,
okay. Even like, let's say, Chase, let's use like the LIV Golf example. Mm-hmm. Do I think all of these guys are getting the exact numbers that's reported? No, I think it's inflated. And my deal is, I bet that Padula number is inflated. At the same time, I mean, do I think it's inflated by even, like, let's just say even that it's inflated by, you know, double.
Yeah.
We're still talking about damn near $500,000.
100%. It's funny you say that, because that's what I told Chase yesterday. I said, you know, 850 might be high. I don't know. Again, I'm not questioning Trilly Donovan. I don't know. I don't know if I can be any more clear about I don't know. But let's say it's $500,000. I mean,
well,
wow.
Let's also say, I mean, this.
People talk about the changing market. Like in the old, the the market pre-pandemic when everybody got paid under the table, they didn't get paid $500,000.
No, I mean, you know, we know Cam Newton got 180 grand to go to state. So, I mean,
the rumor is Auburn paid him $200,000. Right. I mean, which, and hey, by the way, I mean, boy, you got your money's worth.
It feels like a bargain these days.
But no, I mean, that's
my point. My point is now that's like a slot receiver.
Yeah, you couldn't even get him to take your call at $200,000.
Like that's like my deal is, let's actually take, and again, maybe all these numbers are inflated, but when you wrote about it in 10 Thoughts and you said the same thing, it's like, I'm not reporting this, but here's the number. It's like $5 million for NIL. Well, if your budget is $5 million for a roster and you're going and getting a guy for 800 grand, that math kind of checks out.
Yeah. 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 And in basketball, what do you need? You need either two stars or you need at the college level.
Well, no, that's not true. Neil, what you need is you need like 10 guys that are almost the exact same and interchangeable. And then rather than actually establishing a pecking order, what you're going to do is you're going to play one guy maybe like 30 minutes. The next game, you'll play him like 11. Then maybe you don't play him at all. Then you'll rotate in a guy. And then that way, instead of like actually having an established pecking order, nobody's happy. And then you just have another mass exodus. That's how you should really build a roster.
Now, I will say that $200,000 in January of 2010 is $288,279.41 now with inflation. So, I mean,
money well spent.
Yeah, Cam 288 now, not 200. We're just playing that. I didn't necessarily want to get off the subject, but I do have a question. I don't think you answered this, Jeffrey. We were talking about Memphis earlier. I was a bit distracted. I was getting a cup of coffee. What's the latest with the whole Liberty Bowl Grizzlies Fred Smith situation?
So it's largely done. The state legislature signed off on it. So the way that the Fred Smith family donation works is, they've committed $50 million, but the school has to also, to trigger the whole $50 million, the school has to match the donation. And the same actually holds true with the FedEx deal. So, you know, if it's $5 million per year, I think it was 5 years, $25 million, the school also has to, or whatever, the collective has to raise $5 million as well to trigger the donation. I think it's 2.5, and then to trigger the full 5, you have to donate another $5 million to match. So where that is unclear. But it seems like at this point, both projects are going to get done. To what degree are they going to get done is a little murky to me. Memphis already announced, like, it went from a here's the renovation to here are the phases of the renovation. I think they're for certain going to get through their second phase of the renovation, which is the one that looks the biggest. I'm unclear if they're going to get to this third phase, which is like more premium seating and whatnot. But I think they're for sure going to get to the second phase. With the Grizzlies, I kind of have an idea of what they're going to do to the Forum, but they've released no plans. Like, I think their goal is when they finally like hammer out the lease with the city, which is, you know, in the infancy, I think they'll release all their plans and whatnot. But I mean, to me, it's, you're talking about look similar to what Indiana, the lower, whatever, the interior of FedEx Forum resembles Indiana's arena pretty similarly. Like, the exterior and everything doesn't, but the interior does. So kind of look at like what Indiana did with their renovation. I think that's probably what Memphis is going to, or what FedEx Forum will wind up doing.
What's the time frame on that?
So for the stadium, they're starting like this summer, moving the press box from one side to the other. And then I think they're trying to have the construction, like they're going to play two full seasons with kind of a limited capacity. Jeffrey Wright speculating, I think you'll see three seasons with limited capacity before they get to just kind of knowing how construction works on these things. Three seasons. with the Grizzlies, the time is not nearly as sensitive because I don't think their lease isn't even up for, I think, another 4 years. But I suspect with the Grizzlies, you'll start to probably see more stuff either this summer or the fall. I think they got to, it just takes, it's a question of how long does it take to hammer out that lease.
What are you interested in tonight with the draft?
I think I'm interested in, is JJ McCarthy Will Levis, or is JJ was all the steam and everything correct? The Rich Eisen show yesterday obviously put the fear of God in me, because JJ said that the Giants were the team that has spent the most time with him. And that's obviously like a nightmare scenario for me. I'd rather just play out the Daniel Jones era and let it be done, cut and move on, than do this whole restart with a guy that I don't really believe in.
God, Siskey hates McCarthy.
I don't get it. So my question is does he have like the greatest PR agent machine of all time? And they're just trying to like con artist their way into the draft. Cause never forget, Rosenhaus pulled this move with McGahee and the Ravens. Like, they were faking phone calls. And then like that ends up getting McGahee drafted despite that devastating injury. So like this stuff does happen, but like, I think that's the big question for me is, I guess I'll start here. Does Drake May go 3? Because if Drake May goes 3 to the Patriots, I think there's a chance that the draft kind of goes chalky for a good long while. Because I think at that point, the Cardinals are just going to sit there and go, we don't really like any of these offers. We'll take Marvin Harrison Jr. You know what I mean? Like, is he for sure going to be the number one receiver in the draft? I don't know, but we know that he is going to be a pretty high floor guy. So take him. That puts Harbaugh in position to take a tackle, and you know that's what he wants to do. And I think it can kind of go chalky for a little bit, because I just am very, very fascinated whether or not all this McCarthy stuff is real.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? Time is unlimited. How would you use it? Best way to squeeze that special thing in your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is great because you are talking to someone who's just worried about you, not friends and family, preconceived notions, emotions that are secondary. Nope, just whatever can help you get to where you need to be. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So learn how to make time for what makes you happy. Visit BetterHelp, betterhelp.com/MPW today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MPW.
Are you retiring soon? How long should you wait to take Social Security? What accounts should you pull from first? Are you already retired? Should you consider Roth conversions? These are just some of the questions that can only be answered with the Personalized Retirement Income Plan. Andrew Sego Wealth Management, specializes in helping folks just like you come up with their retirement game plan. Whether you meet at his office in Collierville or prefer Zoom from anywhere, schedule a free discovery meeting and see what they can do for you. It's rebelsretire.com. We mentioned the show tomorrow night. It'll also be brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. Different names, same great products and services. If you live in Oxford, Batesville, Tupelo, or the surrounding area, call Comer 662-801-1777. Or if you live in Hernando, Memphis, that area, call the people at Southern 662-429-4429. The College Corner, if you're coming up this weekend for baseball, for double-decker, for both, stop by the College Corner. Right off of Sisk Avenue in the Oxford Commons. Leave a tip. That tip's going to do two things. It's going to go to the Grove Collective, and it is also going to get you registered for a Grove Collective Lane Kiffin signed football. That's through May the 15th. You have to get registered for that. 4,000 square feet of the best Rebel gear there at the Oxford Commons. Plenty of parking available. Their staff's going to have you in and out and ready for Swayze in no time. Also, check out their two locations in the Jackson area, and then collegecornerstore.com. We're also brought to you by Argent Wealth. Call Argent Wealth's 401k advisory services team today. They'll conduct a complimentary, no obligation benchmarking and analysis of your current 401k plan. Mention that you heard about Argent Wealth on the Oxford Exxon podcast, Blue Sky Live, and receive 10% off of your first year's fees. And we're brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. John's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows him to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits simply not available to other travelers. If you're thinking about a trip that you want to create a lifetime of unique memories, get in touch with John. Give him some parameters. Give him a budget. He's going to give you options that you're not going to find on your own. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. I mean, I know he's sharp and he's impressive and all of those things, and he was a really good college quarterback on a loaded roster and he just managed games, but that's not what wins in the NFL. You gotta have more than that. I was reading, I guess it's The Athletic today, talking about the Bears and the big day in Chicago, and they're gonna draft Caleb Williams, and there's pockets of excitement, there's pockets of angst. I mean, the one thing you know with Williams is that you're getting this super physically talented dude. The rest of it is loaded with question marks, but for the most part, if you don't have the physical talent, if you don't have the arm, and you can't, it's just not gonna, you can't really just piece it together. And Mac Jones is proof of that. You can't just kind of piece it together in the NFL. You gotta have it.
Yeah, my biggest problem with McCarthy is, like, do I think he's a pretty good athlete? Sure. Like, I don't really dispute that. But it's not like he's a supreme athlete. I don't love his ball placement. And there's this whole idea of pro-style offense. It's like, you idiots. Just because you're a run-first team doesn't mean that's a pro-style offense. Like, I don't even know, like, where that narrative came from. I really think of it in these terms. How many games has J.J. McCarthy, like, gone down and won? Like, there was, like, the Illinois game last year where he goes down and gets a Jake Moody, like, 51-yard field goal in an ice storm. Okay, great drive. What's that, 3 first downs he got? And even, like, in the Ohio State win last year, it was like they schemed up shot plays and he hit some big, deep shots. Okay, like, I'm not saying that didn't happen, but, man, playing quarterback, I care a whole lot less about when I pop in your highlight tape, like, do I see some moments that make me go, wow? I care way more about when I watch an entire game, do I sit there and go, man, this guy's killing us. Like, he, you know what I mean? Just throw after throw after throw. And it doesn't even have to be, it's kind of the Burrow thing. It's like, Burrow has figured out, even more so than I think, like, Herbert. Sometimes it's just not about, like, these big deep shots. Sometimes it's about, like, getting 7 yards on first down and just kind of keeping the thing rolling. It's 3rd and 4 and picking up 5. And it's, do you just stay on the field? Yeah. Listen, I've been wrong. Like, I was dead wrong on Josh Allen. Like, I just don't think J.J. McCarthy fits into the same mold that Josh Allen does.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
If I'm doing the thing where it's like I have to take a quarterback and I'm not getting one of those three, I'm taking Penix. And I do understand the limitations of Penix. Like, the limitations of Penix are, listen, he's ultra aggressive down the field. And to be ultra aggressive down the field, you need time. And he is a guy that wants to stay in the pocket and throw deep. And there's a reason why he's been hurt. Completely understand that. But man, it just feels like his biggest flaw is that he's played so much college football that people are just nitpicking his tape to a degree that they're not. And my whole deal is, if we're going to do this whole winter crap with JJ, why are we not doing it with Penix?
Yeah.
Anybody taking a look at Indiana football with Michael Penix and without in the last 15 years?
Yeah.
Seems to be a key difference.
Great point.
Anybody seen Washington football with and without Michael Penix? Seems to be a key difference.
He took Washington to the national title game.
Well, and I also just think about it like this. Is Penix, like, let's say Texas completes one of those passes down at the end of the end zone. Let's say Texas scores and wins the game in the national semifinal. And we never see the Michigan game. Is Penix really getting raked over the coals like he is?
That's a great point.
Because the other thing for me, it's like, yeah, he wasn't particularly great against Michigan. Someone show me who was. Michigan ate quarterbacks alive all year.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Michigan made Alabama look pedestrian. They made Ohio State look pedestrian. Those are not pedestrian programs.
Well, they're not pedestrian rosters either.
No, so I'm saying, you know, and throughout the season, we all made fun of the Pac-12 because it was dead and the commissioner had run it into the ground and it was literally it was an exodus. But the Pac-12 had pretty good teams last year. And week after week, we were like, okay, well, this is the week that Washington goes down. They're going to lose to Oregon this time. They didn't. He outplayed Bo Nix twice. He outplayed Caleb Williams. He outplayed everybody.
He's outplayed Bo Nix three times. He did the same thing last year, too.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He kept winning games. Man, I don't. The thing about the quarterback deal, and it's the nature of the league. And we'll watch it unfold tonight. And the fact that it happens to virtually every organization just shows you how desperate you are to get the quarterback. Where you're New Orleans with Drew Brees, where you're the Denver with Elway, where you have your guy. Because not only does he help you win games, but when you have the face of a franchise like that, it's easier to market your franchise. It's easier to sell tickets. It's easier community relations. Everything is easier if you have the quarterback, period. And so you go looking for it. You go looking for it, and they're just so hard. It's so hard to analyze. And I mean, look at how many first round quarterbacks bust as opposed to like first round defensive linemen.
Well, that was interesting. Did y'all see the sneaky himbo tweet yesterday that Schefter retweeted? Granted, it's not a perfect study, but Himbo looked at first round picks from 2000 to 2019 and did a simple hit or miss. Mm-hmm. Hit was defined as second contract. Miss was defined as no second contract.
Okay.
Quarterbacks were actually kind of in the middle. It was 46%. What I was stunned by was, and maybe it's just because of my bias of the team that I've watched for like the last 25 years. Offensive tackles were over a 50% hit rate. Number one was centers, which actually, and when you kind of think it out, that makes sense. center is not really a position that you would take in the first round. So if you're going to take a center in the first round, like you are pretty certain this guy's going to be really good for us.
Yeah.
And so there were only 12 taken, 11 hit, which okay. is like, that makes sense to me.
It does.
Garth was the next highest, I think at like 68%. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'm trying to do it from memory. Again, that kind of makes sense. Guard's not a super sexy position. And, you know, if you're going to take him in the first round, you got a pretty high grade on him. That makes sense. Tackle's a little bit more in that, man, we got to have one. And so the hit rate was like 58. And that kind of took me by surprise that it was that high. But quarterback was like ahead of edge rusher, which really surprised me. And I think the other thing is, again, not a perfect stat, but of the 14 playoff teams last year, 11 had first round quarterbacks starting. Oh. The other big deal is, and this is what no one will ever say, but this is 100% true. We've all watched enough football to know. When you do have a stud quarterback, it makes everything a lot easier. You don't have to be as good. Like, look at Kansas City. They just won a Super Bowl with no receivers. Now, granted, they've got an elite tight end. They were pretty good up front, and they've got an absolute beast on the defensive front, and they had corners that were extremely sticky. So I'm not saying the roster doesn't matter, but it does allow you to be really average at a lot of other spots on offense, and you can still be relevant and competitive if you do have the elite guy.
And the opposite is such a difficult route. You
have to be so good literally everywhere.
Everywhere. If you have just an average quarterback, just a solid quarterback, you've got to be so good in every other way. And it's just like...
Let's use the 49ers as an example.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Do I really believe Brock Purdy was the reason they lost the Super Bowl? I do not. I think he played pretty solid. But he wasn't Patrick Mahomes.
No, if the Niners had had a star quarterback with that roster, they would have won the Super Bowl.
I mean, I don't think in the second half, I think they converted maybe like one third down. You know, hey, that's the down, that's the money down.
Yeah, I mean, Purdy was a seventh round pick. I mean, they're absolutely getting their value for the pick. I mean, big time. But the point still stands. It's just go through the history of Super Bowl winners. I mean, there's an exception here and there, but for the most part, every Super Bowl winner had a stud at quarterback.
Well, like people want to use the Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer examples, and I'm like, the game is so much different. Like, I don't even think we had a legal contact at that point. The game is so much different now than that was. But
Dilfer played on a team that had an elite defense.
Like, to me, it's like let's take a more modern example. Nick Foles. Is Nick Foles a better quarterback than Tom Brady? Absolutely not. But if you go back to that postseason, Nick Foles got on an absolute heater. I mean, just a true heater. And he did have one skill that was extremely good, if not elite. He threw an unbelievable deep ball. And so they played to those strengths, and they got the game into a shootout, and he was able to beat Tom Brady. But
I was about to say, the weakest Super Bowl champions in this era you're talking about is Foles and Flacco, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
And by the way,
just got to be good for three or four games. One three or four game heater.
One of those 11 first rounders that I was mentioning, it's like half were number one picks. And by the way, Burrow wasn't even in the playoffs.
Yeah. Sure. I'll switch it for a minute.
All right.
Celtics still we're going to win in five.
I guess you could talk me into six, but I was not all that. Like, that was one of those games that it's like, it seems so obvious the Celtics are going to blow them out that you start doing maybe the Heat are the bet.
Eric Spoelstra's so good.
But also, they hit like 24 threes.
They did. They shot the lights out. But if you tell me, hey, you got one series to win, pick your coach, I think I just go, give me Spo.
think that's right. I think even despite the fact that he's considered one of the best, I still think he's underrated. Like, give me Spoelstra 1,000 times before you give me Kerr. Like, by the way, what a great return on value there you're getting there. What's he getting now? Like $20 million a year? Please preach to me some more. A wise, all knowing master. I will say the same things that have always kind of given me the heebie jeebies about Boston when we're talking about title. It's for Boston. We're not talking about whether or not they can make the finals. Like, we're talking about
title or bust.
Can this team beat the Nuggets? They still don't really have a true point guard. And when your best player is Jason Tatum, it's really hard for him to just start the offense and create on his own. And again, am I like super worried about Boston getting out of the East? Not particularly, but like, I still think that if we get to Boston and Denver, I know who I'm picking.
Me too. Denver.
And that's not like some Western Conference bias. It's just, I've always just thought like that's going to be the key concern for me with Boston is, can they do this without really a pure point guard that like starts the offense?
I mean, I realize that Denver's not the one seed, but they basically are the one seed in everyone's mind. And you look at 2, 3, and 4 in the West, essentially Oklahoma City, Clippers, Mavericks. All three of those teams would be head and shoulders the second best team in the East.
Yeah, I don't even think it's like in the end, the only reason why Denver's not the number one seed is because who the hell knows what happened on that Friday night in San Antonio.
Is the NBA 2-3-2 or 2-2-1-1-1?
2-2-1-1-1.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll tell you what happened on that Friday night. As much as I can't stand some of the hype sometimes because it's just nutty, is Wimby happened. He's special.
Yeah, I think I'm at the point now where the hype doesn't even bother me. Like, I knew how hyped he was coming in, and watching him this year, I was like, man, this guy's like something we haven't seen.
I mean, listen, I think I've... The Thunder have now played 84 games. I would guess that I have watched at least 75 of those games. And Chet Holmgren, who was amazing last night, had a great rookie year. Great rookie year. And I'm biased. And yet I wouldn't even consider voting for Holmgren. I would just go Wembanyama. He's better. I mean, and Chet is really freaking good.
So the thing that actually interests me about the NBA right now is, are we in a transition time? And I think the answer is obviously yes. Because if you look at the NBA, I did this on my show yesterday. So if anyone out there was listening, I apologize for being repetitive. But the thing that was always fascinating to me about the NBA, if we start in the 80s, which I think all of us would agree, that's when the NBA kind of becomes what it's obviously different in the 80s, but that the league starts to resemble what we see now. Agree?
Yes. Yes, 100%. Magic and Bird, no question about it.
If we start in the 80s, the players that defined that decade, Magic, Bird, and to a lesser degree, Moses Malone, and then
Julius Irving.
Yeah, and Irving. And then we get, at the end of the decade, we get the rise of Jordan and then Isaiah Thomas. Agreed?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All of those guys account for every championship in the 80s. All right, let's move to the 90s. I think you have three guys that clearly are the guys that define the 90s, and then you kind of get a little bit of a mix, but Jordan, Kareem, and David Robinson, to me, kind of define the 90s of NBA basketball. If you want to throw Karl Malone, Barkley, Ewing, and then the early stage.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Hakeem was my second.
Okay.
I got Jordan, Hakeem, David Robinson. I think those are the guys
that
kind of define the 90s. And then
yes.
And then you can have Malone, in some order, like Malone, Barkley, Ewing, Shaq, early stages of Shaq.
Okay.
Okay, well, other than, I think the Lakers might have at the 89-90 season, I think they got one. The rest of them account for all the championships. The 2000s, Kobe, Shaq, Tim Duncan clearly defined the decade for me. If you want to make an argument for Garnett, I'll listen to it in an argument for Dirk. I'll listen to it. But those guys, those three clearly define the 2000s. And other than the one Detroit championship, those guys account for all the championships. In the 2010s, LeBron, Steph, Curry, Durant, and at the early part of the decade, Kobe. And towards the end of the decade, if you want to make a case for Kawhi, I'm listening to it. Those guys account for every championship. So we're now into the 2020s, and it's like, who is going to define this decade? I think at this point, I think it's unquestioned. If Denver wins again, Jokic is clearly, I think Jokic should be on there anyway. But to me, like it's a no doubter that Jokic is there. Giannis probably. But then we're starting to see, like, who are these other, like, two guys, maybe two, three other guys that are going to define this decade in terms of, because that's, you have to have that guy to win a championship. So, like, who is going to step up and become those guys? And that's kind of what I'm fascinated watching this round, because, like, do I think Tatum is that guy? Not quite, but at the same time, I'm open to the idea that he could be. You know, are we going to start to see, you know, SGA really take over? Are we going to see Anthony Edwards take over? It's going to be someone. There's going to be another one. And so, like, I'm kind of fascinated to see, like, who ends up becoming the next.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? As you were going through that, I started thinking, because I got a mailbag question the other day, and I think I bungled it. It was like, why do you think the NBA ratings are down? And, I mean, I have a lot of thoughts on it. But I don't think, people do the whole defense thing, and I'm like, it's just not true. If you watch the NBA, the guys play defense. They do. If you want to see a non-defense game, watch the All-Star game, and everybody scores 200. These guys are so talented that if you don't guard, they'll score from everywhere. I mean,
well, and also the rules are such, like, I don't even know how you play defense.
Yeah,
like,
and then in the playoffs, they switch the rules. But regardless, I'm going to my point. And look, I don't think there's any question. All the woke stuff in 2020 hurt them. There's no question about it. It really did. You can see that it falls off the map. People did not like all that. But I wonder how much of it is, or if it is at all, the fact that you were going through the 80s, Bird and Magic and Dr. J and Michael Jordan and Kobe and LeBron. All those are Americans. And now you start talking about Jokic and Luka and Giannis. SGA is a Canadian. I mean, I kind of wonder if the fact that the game is at least being at the European players who used to just sort of, like, Tony Kukoc was a piece on the Bulls, but nobody ever thought about Kukoc as a great player. He was good. Dirk was an outlier, but they were, you know, like, there were good players that came over from Europe. Drazen Petrovic. There were guys that came over and played, but not guys that, for the most part, that came over and dominated the league. And, like, if the Nuggets win again, and I think they're going to, you have to start talking about Jokic in a completely different way than we've talked about him before. You have to start talking about Jokic as an all-time great. And he's a guy that's still in his 20s. I mean, he's not through dominating if he wants to keep dominating. And then, you know, Wembanyama's the next big star. You have, and he's great. I mean, he's a superstar. I just wonder how much that maybe hurts the NBA, if at all, in America, with America ratings, that the stars aren't as many Americans as they used to be.
There's something to the persona. Real quick, Jeffrey, I'll let you finish, is that Jokic is at least the media persona that he doesn't even really like basketball. Hurts it, too. You know what I mean? Like, you're not engaged and you're not in it. He's like, I just want to go home and mess with my horses. Like, whatever. I'm just doing this as a job. That affects the casual fan who's trying to pull for, like, that great star in a different way than, like, Jordan, who was like, by God, I'll rip your throat out. Him and Kobe, it's a completely different animal there.
Prime Shrimp, PrimeShrimp.com. 7 different flavors available for you. Actually, I'm going to be 8 now. The soy ginger, their most recent offerings, great with hibachi dishes, proteins, vegetables, rice, and much more. Give it a shot. Their New Orleans-style barbecue is their number one seller. It's one of my favorites as well, as is the signature. It's a great all-purpose one. It's great for throwing on salads at lunches, quick protein snacks, or dinner when we got so much going on there with Prime Shrimp. We're going to help you out. We're going to make it a little cheaper for you. I'm going to give you code RG. You buy 5 pouches or more. Maybe you're sampling one of everything. You're getting a lot of your favorites. Either way, 25% off again with code RG at PrimeShrimp.com.
Oxford's newest Greek restaurant on the square, Opa's, the perfect place to plan your company dinner, your festive party events. Also a great place to stop if you're coming up this weekend for baseball, for Double Decker. Stop by Opa, great food, craft libations as well. 601-421-7147 for catering or booking information. We're brought to you by Service Specialist Staffing and Recruiting Agency. It's always free for the candidate. Pardon me, if you're on the job hunt, if your company is looking to hire quality, hard-to-find talent, they can really help you. Keep in mind that the payment of service is solely contingent on if you decide to hire a candidate that Service Specialist sends. You got nothing to lose. Give Will, Sydney, or Kelsey a call. 601-573-9242 or check out their new and improved website, ServiceSpecialistLTD.com. Get the beautiful, healthy smile you deserve at Corinth Dental. Dr. Bubba McQueen, Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative, state-of-the-art procedures that will result in a beautiful, long-lasting smile. From routine checkups to advanced treatment, including implants and Invisalign, Corinth Dental is here to help you achieve your smile goals. So schedule your appointment today and take the first step toward a better version of yourself. It's CorinthDental.com. Are you a displaced corporate executive wanting to put your career in your own hands? Are you an experienced entrepreneur looking to diversify? Andy Ludeke can help. He owns multiple franchises and businesses, uses his expertise to help others find their American dream through a very thorough and free consultation process. So call Andy and put your life in your own hands. It's 100% free. You got nothing to lose. MyPerfectFranchise.net, Andy at MyPerfectFranchise.net or 404-973-9901.
Podcast has also brought to you by Factor. I told you about them starting back yesterday. It is a way to eat stress-free this spring with their delicious ready-to-eat meals, fresh, never-frozen meals, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, and Veggie. Discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today. Fuel up for your springtime goals. It's no fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. It's tailored to your schedule. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. And it's your solution to fast premium meals without the need for cooking. They're also selling Earth Day all month long. Look for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/MPW50. Use code MPW50 to get 50% off your first blocks plus 20% off your next box. That code MPW50, factormeals.com/MPW50 to get 50% off first one, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Well, I kind of think I'm kind of in the mode of whatever your theory is for why ratings are down, you're probably right. Like, I don't think there's one particular reason. Like, for instance, one of the key differences right now with numbers are the Warriors aren't in it. And to me, like, that's a huge part of this. But when we talk about the players, I think it doesn't help, obviously, that no one's American. I also think, though, so many of these all-time greats that we've mentioned, really other than Shaq, Hakeem, really going back like the last 30 years, really other than Shaq and Hakeem, they've mostly been perimeter players, guards, and now we're into this era where it seems like the two defining players that so far are bigs. One is a physical freak in Giannis, and you're just like, it's almost like the same reason why I kind of think Shaq gets overlooked in terms of the all-time great. It's like, because he was so big and just such a like a specimen, it's almost like, yeah, well, if you're that big, like we expect you to have. I mean, there was like one playoffs where he averaged 30 and 20. We're like, well, yeah, like that's the expectation. It seems to me, I think it's the fact that right now we don't really have a perimeter guy, and that's kind of I think where we're starting to kind of, and where's this going? Like, I think more than anything,
it's
like
not as relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why I think Steph caught fire so much, not that he's not an all-time great, which clearly is. Like, I'm not denying that.
Yeah.
But part of Steph's mystique is you're watching in this sport of giants and physical specimens. You're watching this guy that just looks like you and me. Well,
yep.
Maybe not me, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely light the world on fire, and you're like, holy cow, this is awesome.
Yeah, when you walk up to Steph Curry in person, or I assume, I don't know that I've ever walked up to Steph Curry in person, but if I did, I wouldn't be like, wow, look at this mountain of a man. I mean,
I will say he's taller than you think, but Neil, I don't think he's any taller than you. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
We were in Memphis the other day. We were down on the floor, and we were 5 feet from Chet Holmgren. And Carson was like, my God, he's tall.
Yes.
And it was like, yeah, he's really tall. I mean, and you watch, to your point, like, you can be the 12-year-old boy that goes out in the driveway and shoots shots and pretends to be Steph Curry and kind of pull it off in your brain.
Sure.
You can't really pretend to be Nikola Jokic. He's 7 feet tall.
You certainly can't pretend to be Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, and those guys play on the perimeter, right?
Touched by God.
I mean, Wembanyama can take you out on the perimeter and beat you. Chet Holmgren will take you out on the perimeter and beat you. He is the reason that the Pelicans got blown out last night. It's not Shea, and I love Shea, but it's not. It was what beat them last night was the Thunder said, all right, game one, you guys pounded the paint with Valanciunas, and we're going to let you do that. But here's the thing. We're going to make him come out and defend, and we're going to open up the perimeter, and we're going to let Chet shoot. And he did, and he made some threes, and the Thunder got going, and it opens up the paint, and all of a sudden Shea's driving, and all of those things happen. He's getting to the free throw line, even with the way that the game's officiated, completely different in the postseason than it is in the regular season, which has to be maddening for players. But to finish that point is, yeah, you can't be the kid that – I'm going to pretend to be Chet Holmgren today. So how are you going to be 7-2? How's that going to happen? And then 7-2 guys are out playing on the perimeter, and everybody looks at it and goes, well, I could never play this game. And it's like, well, yeah, you never could in the first place, but you could at least pretend to be Steph.
I mean, I think, honestly, it's part of the Caitlin Clark mystique.
100%.
Yeah. And when she crosses half court, she's in range.
But she looks like, if you just saw her in with a group of 100 sorority girls, she just kind of looks like one of them.
She's a little taller, but yeah.
Yeah.
What are you talking about today, Jepper?
I have no idea. I don't know. I mean, I'm in it, boys. I'm in it.
Well, I mean, what's the hot topic there? Is it still how Penny's trying to build a roster? Is it NBA? What's
even at a place like Memphis where it's so basketball crazy? Even Memphis fans are like, man, how do I keep up with all this?
It's wild, isn't it? I mean.
There's so much. Like, it's just like, and it's like the calendar's so screwed up. It's like, even a place like this is like, wake me up when the games start.
Well, there's a thread on our board right now. I'm not making fun of the poster because he's one of our better posters, but he's like, you guys said on Monday, said something about they're not being buy-in. I'm in my mind, I'm going, I haven't even answered it yet, but I'm like, I don't even remember Monday. What did we do on Monday? I mean, today's just Thursday, and I really don't remember Monday's show at all. I have no idea what we really talked about. I'd have to almost go back and listen. I don't.
No, I feel like I have more people come up to me like, man, really liked what you said. And I'm like, can you fill me in? Because I got no idea.
Hey, just run down the Bucky's menu, Jeff. You got a Bucky's coming to the greater Memphis area.
Boys, all good. I got a Bucky's cup right now, my coffee cup.
Ooh.
I'm a Bucky's enthusiast.
Yeah. Big day.
As a lover of all things retail, that place is special.
Gotcha. Appreciate it, bud.
All right, guys, be good.
Jeffrey Wright, Campbell Clinic Hotline, as always, on these Thursday mornings. I mentioned the show tonight, Neil, kind of let everybody know when, where, why, that kind of thing for this evening.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to start, I don't know, 6:30, 6:45. We'll get going before the draft. We'll turn the draft on. We'll turn some NBA playoffs on. We'll keep up with Ole Miss, Alabama. What time they start? 7? 6:30?
6:30.
6:30. We'll keep up with that a little bit too. We'll take calls on the Campbell Clinic Hotline. We'll have David Beatty's going to join. He's now the wide receivers coach at FAU. His daughter goes to Ole Miss. I don't know if you knew that. He's actually coming. He's coming. I didn't know that until yesterday either. He's coming into town for double decker, but we'll get him on the phone, I think, after he lands in Memphis. Kane Womack is scheduled to join us. Bryant Vincent, the head coach at ULM, the Fighting Warhawks, he will join. See who else. John Sumrall, coach at Tulane, former Troy coach, former Ole Miss assistant, scheduled to join us as well. I think Tyler was working on some other stuff too. And we'll stay with you until the end of the first round. Last year, that was a long show. I was delirious by the end.
What is your hope for alcohol consumption on your part tonight?
My hope?
Well, hope is not the right word. What is the over-under of where it becomes, hey, that was probably one too many or one too few? Sorry, let me put it
down. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'll probably go with my ghost in the machine. I'll probably go with that. I'm good at two. At three, I start feeling things. So I'll probably stick in that range. I mean, you just never know. Last year Tyler had his designated driver with him, and so he just started pounding. I laughed at his post where he says, "I don't drink." I was like, "Oh God, that's not true." He was pretty loopy by the end of the first round. I think everyone was ready to go. But it was fun. It was a fun show. It'll be a fun show tonight. And I mean, there's something about the NFL draft that I think is it's always interesting. It's always like and halfway through the first round, you're like, why am I watching this again? What is this about this that I watch? And yet year after year, you go back and watch it. You won't tonight because you're covering a game, but you'll be following it. Everyone does it. We follow the draft, and in the middle of the first round of the draft, you're like, why am I watching this? This is not great television. I don't know what it is about this that pulls me in, and yet year after year it does.
We are, I guess I'm doing the math in my head right now. We are 8 years since the fame draft with Laramie Tunzel, when was also happening during a baseball game at Swayze Field. It was Ole Miss LSU that night. I was in the press box as everything was unfolding, and it was such – if you weren't there, I don't know how to really put it into words from the standpoint of it was so weird because
I wish I had been there.
But fair enough. You'd much rather have been sitting with me that night. Everyone was so concerned with what was going on there that as Ole Miss was beating LSU, they won the game. There was really no cheers or anything. Like, it just, the game just sort of ended and everybody walked out. It was a really strange environment that night.
I mean, not to go too far down the story time with Neil deal here, but that was one of, to the point, Chase, where I told you this the other day. We were talking about something different. I think I have blocked out a lot of like bad memories, just erased them from my mind. If you tell me about it, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. But like, it's not ever on the forefront of my consciousness. And that's one of those nights that I think I've really almost blocked it out. I can go back and see it, but not like, I can't really remember it from a first person perspective almost. It's like I'm watching from above or something. Cause I'm in that auditorium in Chicago, and it wasn't the first time I'd covered the draft. So I sort of was familiar with how the draft coverage worked. And we were expecting Laramie to go pretty quickly. And then the video comes out, and I wasn't watching TV because I was in the building. And so you're trying to find it on social media, and then you do. And he starts to fall, and it becomes this conversation. And yet you're in the building and you're trying to go talk to people. And at the same time, you keep going, well, but he's going to go next. He's going to go next. He's going to go next. And then he didn't go to the Giants when it would have made sense. Didn't go Titans when it really would have made sense. And you're like, holy shit, is there more? You know, what's happening? And then he finally got drafted. And we went down and the whole thing happened. But then Laquan got drafted and Robert got drafted. And so you were doing these other things. And when I got back to my hotel is when I kind of realized, oh, people are really pissed at me. And I didn't I didn't really understand it, honestly. I still to this day don't really understand it 8 years later. But it was a weird night. Just the whole thing was strange. And then I would talk to people back in Oxford, like inside the building, and they didn't really understand what was going on. And you look back at it now, and it was really more from an NFL standpoint, everybody dropped the ball. I mean, you could say, hey, Laramie was immature, and that was sort of stupid to have that video, but big deal. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, of course. Night, yeah.
On that night, it was a big deal. It cost him a lot of money initially. That people, NFL teams were scared. I mean, I remember talking to one NFL guy that goes, what you don't know now is what else is out there.
Right.
He's not a safe pick. Turns out he was the safest pick. He was a left tackle, sure. Generational talent at left tackle. But in the moment, on the clock, teams that are paid to know everything suddenly didn't know everything, and it scared the hell out of them.
Yeah.
And then he got down in that room. We were told, hey, he's going to meet with the media. He wants to meet with the media. And to this day, it's the one thing people do the pushback and go, Jimmy Sexton should never have let him go in front of the cameras. And my response is always the same. At that moment, Laramie Tunsil was a professional. He wanted to go in front of the cameras.
He did.
He told his agent, I want to go talk to the media. And then he got in there, and I don't know whether, look, Jimmy and his people, they told him what was coming. Mm-hmm. He knew the questions he was going to be asked, and he decided to answer them, frankly, honestly, which led to more questions. And the room was, it wasn't very chaotic or anything in there. It was just people asking questions. And you didn't pass a mic around and say, hey, Joe Schmo, Washington Post. You just asked. And it led to people hearing and trying to determine. And to this day, I always say the same thing. People would always ask me, did you ask that question? It's like, no, but I mean, I asked a lot of questions. I actually was the one that sort of gave him an opportunity to sort of explain it, and he didn't do it. None of the questions that were asked that night were unfair at all. Yeah. You know, and people just got up in their feels, and he got ugly for me, man. I mean, those next few months were ugly. It was weird. I mean, I was unprepared for that reaction. You've known me a long time. It's difficult to shock me. I was shocked.
Yeah, I mean, really went until the NCAA thing just completely mm-hmm. took over about a year later.
Yeah, it went on for a year.
Yeah,
I can remember a week after that telling Laura, we got to move. This isn't going to work. We got to get out of here. And it was like, God, what do you? I mean, and I think we would have left because I made some calls and talked to some people and. But God, I mean, Campbell was 15. I mean, you're gonna move. Caroline was 13 and thriving. You're gonna move your girls in the middle. That's just no. It's like no. I'm just gonna suck it up and take it. And you know, and it all kind of. It's just now, crazy as it is, it's just now to the point where it's such ancient history that it doesn't really come up anymore. But for years, it was like, oh, you're that guy that and I was like, really. Yeah. He's got people. That's what I tell people. It changed the way we lived here because it did. It just changed that night. Now that you bring it up, that night completely changed me as a person.
It's crazy. It's been 8 years.
8 years. It feels like a lot longer than 8 years, which is probably mm-hmm. a good thing because there was a time when it was like yesterday. And then now it feels like that was like 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, 8 years ago, it was a wild night. What should have been such a good night for Ole Miss, 3 first-round picks. Hugh Freeze was in Chicago, and Hugh Freeze hid after that, which is no surprise. And frankly, hey, you want the truth? This is not criticism. Yeah, it is. It's valid. That was a night when Hugh Freeze should have stood in front of the cameras and defended his program and talked and fought and been a little more resilient and fought for his players. Instead, he hid. And by hiding, you made it look worse.
They did that, and then they made them. You know, they did the whole take up the phones that night in the Manning Center, and the whole thing just went on and on and on and on and on. At that point, and there it went. So,
I mean, you know, and that was the ultimate payback for one of the worst PR blunders in the history of PR blunders.
Yeah,
that was the ultimate payback for the basically calling Lindsay Miller a wife beater.
Correct. And you enraged someone with proof, and there you went.
And it was the and then it was the ultimate payback for you got involved in the agent business. You started, you know, it was the view, fairly or not, was that he had steered Laramie away from one agent and to another that was more favorable to him. And
correct.
Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But it was true to, in the minds of the person who
leaked it.
Who leaked it, and they were that was a strategic, obviously, leak, and it did real damage. And the second part of that leak was designed to hurt Ole Miss, and by Ole Miss responding the way that it didn't, it did. It hurt. There's no question. Yeah. That was a failure that night. Hugh should have gotten in front of cameras and talked, and that was a failure on Ross's part. It was a failure on Michael's part. It was a failure on everybody's part who handled that. They were not prepared for that. And I don't blame them for not being prepared for that. But that was a failure in the moment of not having a crisis management type. Okay, what do we do? Take a deep breath. We got some time here. Let's talk about this. Should have gotten in front of it that night. And by not getting in front of it that night, you let that narrative get set that, oh, this is this wild-ass cheating program, totally out of control. And it sort of gave the NCAA, which still very much had an erection for Ole Miss, it gave them the runway to keep going.
Yeah. Quick update here. Mason Nichols, Ole Miss still TBA on Sunday, by the way. It's just, look, they need him healthy. It's hard to make any path here without Nichols being 100%. They tested the shoulder on Tuesday and Wednesday through, I think, without much pain or issue. Have not heard an update since then, but Ole Miss did go TBA. So they're Maddox, Doyle, Nichols, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And again, that starts at 6:30 tonight. For Ole Miss, Alabama number 17 in the RPI, but they're 7-11 in the league. It's not like they've got a ton going on there. So big series for both, trying to hold in NCAA conversations, even despite the RPIs where they are. So I'll have coverage, rebelgrove.com, of that. And then Neil and Siski taking you through the draft, the baseball game, plenty of other stuff tonight on the MPW Digital Network as well. So stay locked in for that, and we will talk to you again very soon.
Mother's Day is almost here. And you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around, a watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether your mom is into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, everything at Movement is up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale. A watch is a gift that celebrates all the time you spent with mom. And a Movement watch is even more than that. Movement uses industry-leading materials for their fresh, modern watch designs, from technically complex ceramics to vintage-inspired style, all for an incredible value your wrist and wallet will both love. And with one-size-fits-all convenience and fast, free shipping and returns, it's a stress-free shopping experience. Save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with Movement. Get up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.